Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Just pray again and again and again and again. Lord, we thank you that this church is so filled with a spirit of prayer. Lord, we thank you that this is a house of prayer. We thank you for each person that's here. We thank you for the new people that are here for the first time. Lord, we pray to thank you that you're already moving in their hearts. You're speaking to them. We thank you that you're so personal, Lord, that you speak to each of us in ways that only we can understand and no one else. So God, I just pray that every heart would stay open and that, Lord, we would hear you speak. And I would walk in your ways. So we welcome you again, Holy Spirit. You're here, but you're the one who gives your spirit without measure. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Empower us, speak to us, mold us, chisel us. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to be more like you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So last week, we talked about how much do you have. We're talking about God's presence. How much do you have? That was the question that I was encouraging you to always be asking, because God has so much of his presence that he wants to give. He wants to work through us. This week as I was praying again, another question came. I'm like, God, why do you always give me the questions? And it's not just a question, it's actually a statement. It's not just a statement, it's actually an invitation. So this question today is, what does heaven look like? What does heaven look like? See, it's a question, but it's also a statement. It's a posture that we need to have. We're all in transit. Our source is heaven. We're not citizens of this world. We're in transit. Once you have Jesus in you, you are in transit. But we need to picture, we need to see what heaven looks like. And I'm no expert, but I'll tell you what, I never think about heaven that much. Because I'm like, I'm going to heaven. I'll see heaven when I get there, as if I can see what it looks like. But there's actually an invitation from God to see what heaven looks like. What comes to mind for you when you think, what does heaven look like? Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. This is what we're called to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Heaven. Heaven is where God dwells. God and his angels dwell in heaven. You're like, but God is here, he's with me. Yes, he is. But where he actually dwells, where he's seated on the throne, is heaven. But we can get distracted with work, with family, with things, and not even think about heaven. But there's power in asking that question, what does heaven look like? Think about Jesus and what he taught to his disciples, what he taught you and I. The Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. I grew up in a primary school where every day at assembly, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Keep us far from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what Jesus taught his disciples. He didn't teach them how to pray. He taught them to pray. See, in growing in prayer, there's no techniques, there's no methods. You just got to pray. People are like, oh, I don't know how to pray. For you to know how to pray, you actually got to pray. It's talking to God. See, we read His Word, we breathe Him in by reading His Word, by hearing His Word, but we breathe out. We breathe Him out by praying. And Jesus has taught us and He's teaching us how to pray. So what's the first thing Jesus says when you pray? He says, our Father, your Father, where is He? He's in heaven. See, He starts from heaven. He starts from heaven. When we pray, that's where we need to start from. That's why we need to picture, actually think, what does heaven look like? Because Jesus says, our Father in heaven, not your Father on earth. Some people can't even get past that because their dad's done this, has done that. We all fall short. But Jesus is like, no, it's our Father, all of us, our Father in heaven. He goes on to say, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He comes back again to heaven. So that's where we've got to start praying from. We need to get a glimpse of heaven for our prayer life to be enjoyable. People can't pray sometimes because it seems like work. It seems too hard. What do I say? Focus on the place where the Father is. As you do that, your prayers actually reach heaven. They reach, you have access to heaven. And as you picture Him and you see what is happening in heaven, you can then actually see heaven come on earth. See, heaven is not just when we go to heaven. We have access to heaven now. Now. But will we take the invitation? It's not just a ticket. When you become a Christian, wait until you get to heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus came down. You know, we sing it. That line kills me. We sing in that song, what a beautiful name. It says, you brought heaven down. You brought heaven down. You came from heaven to earth. You brought heaven down. It says, my sin was so great. But His love was greater. His love was greater. So we have access to heaven because of Jesus. But today I want to ask you, what does heaven look like? What do you see when you think about heaven? Do you even think about heaven? Because it's where God is. It's where He dwells. So we're going to go to Revelation 4, 1 to 11. See, Revelation 4 and 5 is where we see John the Apostle. He gets a glimpse of what heaven looks like. It's like a trailer of what's happening in heaven. There's so much happening in heaven right now that no matter how much you ask, no matter how much you want to be an expert on it, you're not going to get the full picture. But God will give you. He'll give you something. And as you see what heaven looks like, it's going to change, and it will change your perspective on life, your reactions to people, what you invest in, what you do with your time, how you love people. It will change your perspective because you start to see what's heaven's priority, what's heaven's agenda. So Revelation chapter 4, 1 to 11. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. This is John. He had heard Jesus' voice in Revelation 1. Jesus was showing him so many things through visions and giving him a message for the churches, the seven churches. But now he hears this voice again. And Jesus says to him, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. Verse 2 says, at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature, like a lion. The second living creature, like an ox. The third living creature, with the face of a man. And the fourth living creature, like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. You see, you can't help, as you hear who God is, as you hear what he has promised, as you see what he is like, and as you see this picture of what happened, you can't help but worship him. It says the 24 elders cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Come on. So John has this open vision. He sees the heavens. And he sees an open door. And he hears this invitation from Jesus. Come up here. Come up here, Jesus says to him. See, there's an invitation for all of us to see as God sees. See, Jesus is the one saying to him, come up here. Because Jesus is the one who's made a way. He's made a way for you and I to walk with God, to have his presence in our lives. Jesus has made a way for sinners to be in God's presence. Jesus has made a way and opened the door for us to commune with God and see what he sees. So we want to see what God sees. The Holy Spirit shows us. But actually the word says that we have been raised with Christ and we are seated by God with Jesus in heavenly places. This is our position, to be seated in heaven, in the Spirit. We're seated in heavenly places, and we can see what God sees. So what does heaven look like when you ask God that question? Because when you ask that question, what does heaven look like? You're actually saying yes to the invitation. You're saying, Lord, I want to see. What's on your heart? I want to see what you're up to. What are you up to, Lord? What are you doing right now? What are you doing in this room? What are you doing in this meeting where I'm sitting at work. See, there's things happening in heaven that affect what's happening in the places that you're in. But it's through our prayers that God will actually move where we are, bring heaven on earth. See, God is in control. He's in charge. He's moving. But He can only move so much where we are. He can't move without us actually saying, Lord, I want to be a vessel. I want heaven to come into this place. So there's an invitation to come up here. Verse 2 says, at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. So he sees a throne. There's a throne in heaven. And there's one who is seated on the throne. See, that word throne in the book of Revelation comes up 62 times. It's got to be an important word, throne. It's the chair of a king. There's a throne that is set in heaven. It's immovable. That word throne, just in this one chapter 4, comes up 14 times. It's the focal point of the universe. God's throne. Everything, authority, dominion, power, it all comes from His throne. So you say, Lord, what does heaven look like? There's a throne that is set. But the question is, who's on the throne of your life? Who's on the throne of my life? Who's on the throne of your heart? Does God sit on the throne? Is He the king? See, when we say, God, what does heaven look like? We get to see He's on the throne. But is He on your throne, on the throne of your life? The God who's on this throne, He's the one that we cry out to, Abba, Father, our Father in heaven. He's on the throne. He is at work. You see, this throne, it's a throne of grace. See, the way we pray, the way we're taught to pray in the Bible, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore boldly approach the throne of grace, where we find mercy and help in our time of need. When you're going through tough times, remember who's on the throne. Remember who you run to boldly, who you run to confidently. Our Father, your Father who is in heaven. It blows my mind away that He's in heaven on the throne, yet He would care about me, yet He would want to hear, yet He would send His Son Jesus to teach us how to reach the Father. He sends His Son to reach us so He can teach us to reach Him. It just blows my mind. Verse 3, what does heaven look like? And He who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne there was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. See, this jasper, this carnelian jasper, we're talking gemstones, we're talking beauty, we're talking diamonds, diamond-like. The carnelian is red, it's this semi-gemstone that is like fiery red, which reflects God's desires for His children, desires His will. And what's happening here is on the throne, John, he's actually not seeing God's face. He's seeing this light. God is full of light. The Bible tells us that He's robed in light. So on the throne, he's seeing this light emanating, radiating like jasper, like carnelian. And he sees around the throne a rainbow. And like the distinct color is emerald on that rainbow. It's around His throne. That emerald and that rainbow are talking of God's mercy, Where would you and I be without God's mercy? He's there on the throne, and around his throne is the rainbow. That's his everlasting covenant with Noah, with you and I, where he promised that he would never again flood the earth, destroy all mankind, destroy all creation through a flood. What does heaven look like? His light emanating out of the throne. It's his power. It's his beauty. When you see, that's why the angels can't help but worship. You see, there's no words I can say or you can say that can do justice to his majesty, to his beauty. He is beautiful. He is powerful. Can you fathom his beauty? Do you actually ever stop to just think about who he is, what he looks like? See, if you come to prayer starting with that, knowing that you're seated in heavenly places, it'll shift how you pray. It'll shift how you trust. You don't have to spend hours doing it. He'll just show you elements of his power, of his beauty. Where would we be without his mercy? Verse 4, what does heaven look like? Around the throne were 24 thrones. See, John sees his throne, but he sees other thrones. There's 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders. It said they were clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. See, when I asked a few people the other day, what do you see when you think of heaven? Someone's like, oh, I just see gold. I see white. I see clouds. I see angels. I see light. I see gold dust. And then I asked one of the other guys, I said, what about you, man? What do you see? He goes, all of the above, plus a buffet of yummy food. There's got to be feasting in heaven. It was Prem that just walked out. But there's these 24 thrones with 24 elders. And scholars and history tells us those 24 elders are actually the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. So the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. So the people before Jesus and the people after Jesus, the old and the new. And his 24 elders is representing unity and God actually saving the Jews and saving the Gentiles. There's no discrimination in God. So all his people, through the Jewish people, his chosen people, worked through them. Jesus was born and then salvation was made available to everyone. Israel blessed the nations. Was a blessing to the nations. So we see the 24 thrones and the 24 elders, they're facing the throne. What does heaven look like? Is this deep? Are you guys getting something out of this? This is just you and God today, just reading and hearing. So stay in your Bibles and see what God's showing you. But they've got golden crowns, these elders. And they're clothed in white. They're robed in righteousness. See, they actually represent us, the people that have been saved. They represent us because we're clothed in righteousness. The Bible says, him who knew no sin became sin for our sake so that we could become righteous. See, the 12, if there were 12 leaders, or let's say Judah, Reuben, those guys, Joseph, the 12 patriarchs, it's not necessarily talking about them, but let's just say it was them, they were the ones on those thrones. None of them were perfect. None of the apostles were perfect. They're all clothed with righteousness because of Jesus, just like you and me. But there's a representation of God's people in heaven. What does heaven look like? They're crowned with glory. You see, if you've said yes to Jesus, you are clean. Jesus said, I have made you clean. That's your position in Christ. And yes, we struggle post that, but that's where we start. I am clean. And you can actually say, Lord, I want heaven to come on earth through me. And he works through you and he gives you the ability to live a life that is pleasing to him. The one who sits on the throne, he is powerful, our Father, our God. Verse 5 talks about flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. That is talking about God's power. Flashes of lightning, peals of thunder. In other versions, it talks about voices. There's voices coming out of the throne. There's messages coming out of the throne. There's lightning. There's flashes. This is God's power that's continually coming out of the throne. Him sending angels here, there, everywhere. He is at work. There is power that is available to you and I that comes from heaven. So when you look to heaven and say, God, show me, he shows you and reminds you of how powerful that he is. But actually, he gives you and I access to his power for his glory. We can so easily forget in our day-to-day, get so down and stressed about life, about your kids, about your work, about your house. But it's only when you actually say, Lord, what does heaven look like? What are you doing? He knows your pain. He knows your heartache. But he's saying, I'm on the throne. I know what I'm doing. I've got you. But it's only when you actually step into that place of saying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He gives you that comfort. He gives you that reassurance that he is with you. He is powerful. It says in verse 5, from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. See, these burning torches of fire are the 7 spirits of God. This comes from Isaiah 11 verse 2. Let's just go there real quick. Isaiah 11 verse 2. This is actually talking about Jesus' coming. But it's talking about the spirit that's going to be upon Jesus. Is where we hear about the 7 spirits. So Isaiah 11 verse 2. It says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Jesus. See, what was available to Jesus is available to us. He's made it available. So there's these 7 spirits of the Holy Spirit. And this is what they are. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's all there. In verse 2, and that is what is available through the Holy Spirit. And this is what John sees on the throne. Verse 5, and before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire. See, this is talking about impartation. Impartation of God's Holy Spirit. He's imparting his Holy Spirit from the throne. Outpourings of the Spirit are coming from the throne, are available from the throne. We have access to his power to bring heaven on earth. Do you actually realize what's available to you? Do you realize what you carry? We carry something so powerful. There's an invitation. There's an open door. See, Jesus has opened the door. But there's so many other doors that we get so consumed with. And we can get so stressed, get so consumed. Yet the door where Jesus is inviting us into, we see what's heaven's priority, what's heaven's agenda, and everything that God has for you, his will for you, will actually flow out of you seeing Him, the Father in heaven, rightly. So we have access to His power to bring heaven to earth. Verse 6 talks about a sea. A sea of glass like crystal. In Revelation 15 verse 2, he talks about a sea mingled with fire. See, this is before the throne, this sea. This is probably the place where we're going to get to worship. There's going to be billions of people worshiping before the throne. But I'll let you study more of that or ask God what that looks like. But there is a vast sea. As we move in Revelation 4, on verse 6, this is cool, this is interesting. My iPad just wants to give me a little freeze. What does heaven look like? What does verse 7 say? It talks about the living creatures. So it's still in verse 6. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Imagine living creatures with eyes in front and eyes behind. That just sounds like, what is going on? But back in Isaiah 6, he has a vision where he says he sees the temple and he sees the glory of God fill the temple. And then it talks about the seraphim. And he talks about a creature with the creatures having eyes in front and behind. Verse 6. See, these living creatures are similar also to the ones mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 1. And in Daniel, it talks about the four beasts. My son saw me looking at a picture on Google today where there's literally a picture of the throne room of God. There's angels, there's all these lights, there's the amazing picture. And there's the four living creatures. They've got six wings. You know, one's got the face of a lion, one's got the face of a man, one's got a face of an ox, one's got a face of an eagle. And I said to my son, what do you reckon that is? Because that's the four beasts. I was like, what? Like, have you been to heaven? But he told me he was at some other church, at kids' church, and they talked about the four beasts. I was like, wow, that is deep. But there's these living creatures. And what's amazing is that if you think about those creatures that we're hearing about and the power that they have just in nature, they are high ranking in nature. If you think about a lion, think about an eagle, you think about an ox, there's a rabbinic saying, like a Jewish saying, teaching, but saying that says from back in AD 300, that says the mightiest among birds is the eagle. The mightiest among domestic animals is the bull. The mightiest among wild beasts is the lion. And the mightiest among all is man. See, another person put it this way. The most noble, the strongest and wisest are represented before the throne, taking part in the fulfillment of God's divine will and worship of His divine majesty. Just think about how noble, how mighty, how powerful those animals are. But to think there's creatures in heaven that have those faces, but what they actually do is worship. That's what heaven's agenda is. That's what heaven's priority is. You and I were created to worship. You've already heard it today, but we're going to read it again. They just can't stop. But it's like, what are we going to get done if all we do is worship? But actually, stuff is getting done whilst they're worshiping. The seven spirits are being sent out. There's power being imparted into the earth. But they teach us to live a life of worship. Yes, we worship in song. Yes, we worship in prayer. But then God brings His power in us on earth as it is in heaven. And He operates through how we do life, love people, how we work, We learn from this picture of what heaven looks like. Verse 8 talks about they have six wings full of eyes day and night. They never cease to say, holy, holy, holy. Back in Isaiah 6 verse 2, he talks about these creatures, talks about six wings. But it's actually talking about the seraphim. They're the burning ones. They're the burning ones. See, they're burning. In Revelation, the four creatures are so close to God. Like no one else, not like the 24 elders. They're so close to his manifest presence and glory. They're the burning ones. See, the seraphim are not, they're actually higher than the archangels. They're actually higher than the cherubim. But what do? They're consumed in worshiping him. What does heaven look like? What's on heaven's agenda? With eyes all around and within, they see God's glory, but yet they never cease to say, holy, holy. They've got eyes, not just front and behind. It then says they've got eyes throughout their whole bodies. What are eyes for? They're to see. So they're just seeing God's glory. They're seeing God's glory in heaven. So much, but you think once you see it, you're like, yeah, cool, what else can we do now? But they're just like, you are pure, there is no one like you, you're so huge, you're majestic, you are holy, you are separated, and they just keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. You see, we see in Isaiah 6, 2, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We see in Revelations 4, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They keep singing the same thing. Sometimes we come into our church services, we're like, oh, we keep singing the same thing over and over again. Just because we're not seeing rightly. We are not seeing rightly. We're not starting our prayers rightly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, they get so caught up on hallowed be your name because that's all they're doing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's so much in God's name. They can't even get to the rest. Imagine if you just got caught up in God's name, in who he is, that he's Jehovah Jireh, he's the provider. That he's Jehovah Shalom, that he's peace. That he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. There's so much to God. There's so much to him. And when we look at heaven, we actually see that our God who sits on the throne is beautiful. But that word does not even do justice for us because that word has been corrupted by the world. How can you say God is beautiful? But we need to redeem that word. We see God's power. We see his sovereignty. What is heaven's priority? See, when the four creatures, the living creatures, as they give him glory, as they give him honor, something happens. It says, each of them with six wings are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is what happens. It says, and whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him. The 24 elders fall down before God. It's like I said before, these 24 elders also represent us as we have access to God. As we get a picture of heaven and we see how glorious he is, we're to humble ourselves. We're to actually leave our presupposed thoughts, views of life, our hurts to the side. And just focus on him and worship him. In that he brings healing. In that he brings clarity. In that he brings hope. But we humble ourselves. We depend on Him. When's the last time you fell down before the Lord? Fell down on your knees, literally, before the Lord. If the 24 elders, if the living creatures do that, we're seeing something of what's happening in heaven. They fall down on their knees before Him who is seated before the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever. He lives in you. He lives, His presence is in you, but sometimes it takes so much for us to just humble ourselves, to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I worship you. But His agenda is for us to worship Him. That's His priority. That's what He created you for. And everything else will flow out of that, out of worship. See, worship. The heavenly hosts can't help themselves when they see the living creatures, the four living creatures, worship. They can't help themselves but worship. They hear holy, holy, holy. They can't help themselves when they see God's glory. They ascribe to Him worth. They ascribe to Him worship. Worship is worth-ship. Like it's saying, this is the value of this thing. This is the value of God. They ascribe worth to God. The 24 elders were robed in white. They were crowned with glory. But they actually cast their crowns down. Man, if you've got a crown, why would you want to put it down? Like, I've got the position. I've got one of the seats. But they actually humble themselves before the Lord. Humility. God's calling us to humility, to dependence on Him. What does heaven look like? The last verse. I could get the band to come back up. The last verse says, worthy, worthy are you. Worthy are you, Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. This is worship. They're worshiping. They don't stop worshiping. They don't see. They're telling God He's worthy. You know, worship, sometimes we can find it hard to worship God because we don't know what to say. I'm talking about worship in song, worship in prayer. But worship is not actually about coming up with words. It's just about saying who God is. Who is God? What does the word say about who God is? Who is He? That's all you need to actually say. Worthy are you, our Lord and God. A scholar by the name of Craig Keener says this about worship. He says, worship is not the invention of nice things to say about God. It is the recognition of who God already is, as well as what He has already done or promised to do. Worship is not the invention of nice things to say about God. It is the recognition of who God already is, as well as what He has already done or promised to do. See, what we're to do with the truth of who God is, it's all in here. We're to get into it, find out who God is, and actually meditate on it. Meditate on the truth. Meditate on the truth of who God is. Meditate on the truth of who God is. And then let that truth lead you to prayer. Let that truth lead you to praise. That's how we worship Him. As you pray, picture yourself in heaven. Because we're told that we're seated in heavenly places. When you're praying, picture yourself, not like you're there, but you can see what is happening there. You are seated in heavenly places. But you start to see from what He sees. And He shows you what to pray and how to pray. And your authority as you pray is coming from a place of being seated with Jesus in heavenly places. See, heaven is real. Heaven is real. It's so real. And God wants to show us that. Some of us know that more than others. But heaven is real. The invitation is open to access it through prayer. Heaven just waits for your prayers. The angels are just waiting for your prayers. Your worship rises, your prayers rise as incense to the Father. You see, this changes our mindset when we look at it like this. It changes how we think. It changes how we live. It changes what we prioritize. Someone said, and we've heard this before for most, don't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. Sometimes we can over spiritualize things and we're just in the clouds all the time. See, God, through His Son, said, be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world. See, we access that salt, that flavor from heaven. We access that light from the throne so that heaven can come down through us. But at the same time, you don't want to be so worldly minded and thinking of the world that your prayers, your life doesn't get heaven's attention. So what are we to do? We're to set our minds on things that are above. You set your mind on things that are above, and that means how you act, the words that come out of you, they're all based on heaven. You put on compassion. You put on love. You put away selfishness. Read Colossians 3, talks about it. You put on Jesus. Let's all stand. Let God sit in His rightful place. Let's all close our eyes. God thirsts. God thirsts. He is thirsty for you to thirst after Him. He thirsts for us to thirst after Him. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart. He's in charge. He's in charge, but will you let Him take charge of your life? Will you let your life be one of prayer, one of worship? Will you respond to the open door to come up here? That's an invitation every day. He's saying, just see what I see. Let me show you. He's a showing God. He's a showing Jesus. He's a manifesting Holy Spirit. He wants to show. He wants to speak. So we're going to worship Him together in song. For the next few minutes, my prayer is that our worship would touch heaven and that the angels would join in. See, it's not about how loud we sing. It's not about how well we sing. It's about our heart posture. If you're here today and you're just saying, man, I want to be one who prays from a place of seeing heaven, one who worships from a place of being seated in heavenly places. One who wants to declare their love for Him. This is what is to consume us every day. This is what is to wake us up. Worship, 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 prayer, 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 worship, worship.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but But God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.